Edmund Koo interviewed with Elizabeth Holmes in early 2006 and was instantly captivated by the vision she unspooled before him. She described a world in which drugs would be minutely tailored to individuals thanks to Theranos's blood monitoring technology. To illustrate her point, she cited Celebrex, a painkiller that was under a cloud because it was thought to increase the risk of heart attacks and strokes. There was talk that its maker, Pfizer, would have to pull it from the market. With the Theranos system, Celebrex's side effects could be eliminated, allowing millions of arthritis sufferers to keep taking the drug to alleviate their aches and pains, she explained. Elizabeth cited the fact that an estimated 100,000 Americans died each year from adverse drug reactions. Theranos would eliminate all of those deaths, she said. It would quite literally save lives. Edmund, who went by Ed, felt himself drawn in by the young woman sitting across from him, who was staring at him intently without blinking. The mission she was describing was admirable, he thought. Ed was a quiet engineer who had gained a reputation in the valley as a fix-it man. Tech startups stymied by a complex engineering problem called him, and more often than not, he found a solution. Born in Hong Kong, he had emigrated to Canada with his family in his early teens and had the habit common among native Chinese speakers who learn English as a second language of always speaking in the present tense. A member of Theranos's board had recently approached him about taking over engineering at the startup. If he accepted the job, his task would be to turn the Theranos 1.0 prototype into a viable product the company could commercialize. After hearing Elizabeth's inspiring pitch, he decided to sign on. It didn't take Ed long to realize that Theranos was the toughest engineering challenge he'd ever tackled. His experience was in electronics, not medical devices. And the prototype he'd inherited didn't really work. It was more like a mock-up of what Elizabeth had in mind. He had to turn the mock-up into a functioning device. The main difficulty stemmed from Elizabeth's insistence that they use very little blood. She'd inherited from her mother a phobia of needles. Noelle Holmes fainted at the mere sight of a syringe. Elizabeth wanted the Theranos technology to work with just a drop of blood pricked from the tip of a finger. She was so fixated on the idea that she got upset when an employee bought red Hershey's Kisses and put the Theranos logo on them for a company display at a job fair. The Hershey's Kisses were meant to represent drops of blood, but Elizabeth felt they were much too big to convey the tiny volumes she had in mind. Her obsession with miniaturization extended to the cartridge. She wanted it to fit in the palm of a hand, further complicating Ed's task. He and his team spent months re-engineering it, but they never reached a point where they could reliably reproduce the same test results from the same blood samples. The quantity of blood they were allowed to work with was so small that it had to be diluted with a saline solution to create more volume. That made what would otherwise have been relatively routine chemistry work a lot more challenging. Adding another level of complexity, blood and saline weren't the only fluids that had to flow through the cartridge. The reactions that occurred when the blood reached the little wells required chemicals known as reagents. Those were stored in separate chambers. All these fluids needed to flow through the cartridge in a meticulously choreographed sequence, so the cartridge contained little valves that opened and shut at precise intervals. Ed and his engineers tinkered with the design and the timing of the valves and the speed at which the various fluids were pumped through the cartridge. Another problem was preventing all those fluids from leaking and contaminating one another. They tried changing the shape, length, and orientation of the tiny channels in the cartridge to minimize the contamination. They ran countless tests with food coloring to see where the different colors went and where the contamination occurred. It was a complicated, interconnected system compressed into a small space. One of Ed's engineers had an analogy for it. It was like a web of rubber bands. pulling on one would inevitably stretch several of the others. Each cartridge cost upward of $200 to make and could only be used once. They were testing hundreds of them a week. Elizabeth had purchased a $2 million automated packaging line in anticipation of the day they could start shipping them, but that day seemed far off. Having already blown through its first $6 million, Theranos had raised another $9 million in a second funding round to replenish its coffers. The chemistry work was handled by a separate group made up of biochemists. The collaboration between that group and Ed's group was far from optimal. Both reported up to Elizabeth, but weren't encouraged to communicate with each other. Elizabeth liked to keep information compartmentalized so that only she had the full picture of the system's development. As a result, Ed wasn't sure if the problems they were encountering were due to the microfluidics he was responsible for or the chemistry work he had nothing to do with. He knew one thing, though. They'd have a much better chance of success if Elizabeth allowed them to use more blood. But she wouldn't hear of it.